You guys love Rig Rundowns. We love Rig Rundowns. Please like and subscribe so we can keep doing these Rig Rundowns.
Thank you. It would mean a lot.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys, 4 from Your Guitar. We're in Nashville, Tennessee at Jack White's House of Tone, Third Man Records Blue Room with James. James, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
Real good, man. Team Mortgage debut album came out yesterday. How's that feel?
It's unreal, yeah. Stoked to finally have it out. Been a while in the works, so yeah, finally.
Man, I want to go back. I know you've told this story a couple times in different interviews, but I want our audience to hear it. Is how did the band start? Because this is something that you've been working on inside your head for a long time. And did it come together with Ed through a Craigslist ad?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I posted like a desperate ad. I just moved to the Maryland kind of DC area.
The DMV?
The DMV. Yeah, exactly. And I just put it like hopefully was going to meet somebody who would like play a gig. And Ed was on it for like a source of comedy.
Yeah.
He was looking at kind of like the desperate kind of
misconnections.
The Rigs of Dad kind of cover band kind of people who were on there.
Yeah.
And he liked the demos and we met up and I was like, oh, this guy's like, he can hit heavy, and he was like, I'm a nurse. I was like, this guy can drive all night. You know what I mean?
Checks two boxes.
Yeah.
No, do you remember kind of the vocabulary or what you had in there for terminology about what you wanted to strive for musically to lure some type of drummers?
I'm just into writing what I want to write. I'm kind of, interrupted vision of what I want the music to be. And he liked that enough, and then we really got more acquainted with each other and musically, like over stoner metal.
Okay.
And like desert rock, and so kind of like Fu Manchu and Melvins and Kaios and those kinds of bands.
Nice. Now, were there any guys that you met or women that you met before landing with Ed?
Yeah. Shouts out Ash.
What happened to Ash?
Ash lives in Liverpool in England, so I couldn't come to the States.
Now, what about anyone else that responded to the Craigslist ad before Ed?
Yeah, there was definitely a couple of people. There was one guy, and I asked him if he would send me like a demo of him playing, and he said he'd never done a demo because he was looking for musicians to create that special first thing, which is big red flag. And then he wrote a paragraph about how many snares he had. It was like, but how does that help? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make you a good, you just have a lot of snares, you know?
Collecting dust. So what was your musical vision? I know this is something you've been wanting to do a long time before you got with Ed and made this a thing a reality, but what musically are you thinking in your head that you wanted this thing to be?
The first thing, I mean, you know, here we are in the house that Jack built.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So of course, you know, like the White Stripes and Death from Above 1979 were like big influences. But the thing that really made me want to do it was when Waves used to play with Zach Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a really short time. And I saw a couple like live videos of that. And because the songs were really simple, and then Zach's drumming is like, you know, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, I could write stuff like that, you know? So that was what, it was just simple, but effective.
You know what I mean? Now, was your vision always to not have a bass player, or was it just like economically the move to make? Or did you, try out bass players that didn't work?
Yeah.
You're like, let's not do this, let's just go with Ed.
Yeah, absolutely. It evolved in kind of a couple different ways, where it was a three piece, and then it was a four piece, and then, once I like had figured out how to route everything and fill in the bass tone, then it just made sense for it to be a two-piece. You know, I was just like, why am I gonna, because you know, you get these people who, you go, I've written this song and let's play it, and then you get the bass player and he's like, what if we go to this note? And you're like, I've already written the song, so just play the song, you know? I don't know.
Well, man, let's get to it, James. What do you got going on with the guitars? We see you got Dunnable, but I've seen you with the Gretsch, I've seen you with the Tele, so how do we get to the Dunnable that we're seeing today?
Guasenio Hall, shout out. 2 minutes to late night, he hooked it up. He just asked me, do you want a Dunnable? And I was like, yeah. And let me pick the color and everything.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, man, super stoked on it.
What have you enjoyed about it since you've been plugging in and jamming with it?
It's really lightweight, and the pickups pick up you know, the highs and the lows, which is exactly what I need it to do. You know, it gets that like cut, but also has enough low end for the power.
Gotcha. You know? And what's we got over here is a Squire. I'll hold it up for the camera. Yeah. How are you using that? And what gets this used? Why does it come on the set and get on put on stage?
Well, it's red. That's pretty cool. and then it's lightweight. So as you mentioned before, I was using the Gretsch and I was using a Tele, and they were just a little heavy. Mm. And then so on the long tours, I kind of got to a point where, you know, I was sort of my back was like
Quasimodo.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, right. Question mark looking person. So yeah. That's why these were a better options than the Gretsch.
Okay.
And yeah, got that guy to Atomic Music in Greenbelt, Maryland. Cheap price. So I was like, cheap, let's go. You know.
Is it a backup, or is there certain songs that this one gets out for, or is it like tuning wise, or is it just a kind of a backup for the Dunnable?
It's kind of just a backup. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll let the Cyclone rest over here. Now, tell me, you alluded to figuring out how you kind of wanted to route the bass and the guitar sounds. I wanted to ask, because obviously the two-piece duo thing has been done before. Jack White, White Stripes, Black Keys, you can go on and on with the different names, Royal Blood, Death From Above, yada, yada. What was the way that you wanted to carve it out? How did you want to do it, and how are you doing it? Because, you know, everyone has a different way to skin the cat.
Yeah, I think a lot of those guys, you know, they did one signal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're doing two signals. I was really influenced by a guitar player, a band called the Unicorns.
Okay.
I remember the Unicorns. Alden Penner, he went by like Alden Ginger as well. But he used to do a lot of like, where he played the root note and then he played a melody as well.
Okay.
But he kind of separate them. And like two ways, you know what I mean? So that was kind of the way I wanted to approach it, was like do the two-piece thing, but then kind of add in some of that stuff. So that was like just initially, and then I realized like how big it sounds with the power chords. I kind of got more driven to the stoner metal stuff when me and Ed kind of got together.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so just to kind of walk through everyone through it, you're running both amps at all times, both the Music Man and the Orange are going both.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the guitar's getting routed that, and you got the ABY box here to hit the signal so it splits, right?
That's right.
Okay. And so what effects-wise is hitting the two amps?
So side A, we've just got the Pog, and that gives me the octave, and then we got the High Watt, and it's from their custom shop.
Okay.
It's just like an overdrive, and it pairs really nice with the Orange to where, you know, crank the Orange, a little bit of the High Watt, and gets... Yeah, nice and fuzzy, but not muddy.
Okay, you know? So the Pog, High Watt are going to the Orange.
That's right.
And then everything else on the board, minus obviously the Helicon, is probably for your vocals.
That's right.
Okay, so everything else, the Whammy and the Echo Dream and the Rat are going to the Music Man?
That's right, yeah.
Cool. How did you land on the Music Man? Because this looks like an old one.
Again, Atomic Music. Shout out Atomic Music, Greenbelt, Maryland.
Hopefully you have a punch card there, because it sounds like you're doing some business.
I do. That's the hookup. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
They had it for cheap in there. I've been a long-time customer in there, traded some stuff in. And even walking out the gate, he was like, man, you're getting this cheap right now. He was kind of like, he was a little bit like trying not to give it to me. the 410. So it's got a lot of power to it, really cuts through. I was using a lot of like Big Muff fuzzes before,
uh-huh.
And I just started using the Rat, and it just cuts through so good on the guitar side.
What were you using before the Music Man came into your life?
I was using the Billy Corgan Big Muff op amp.
Okay.
And it was cool, we got to open for him.
Oh, cool.
And I got to tell him, like, dude, I'm using your pedal. Yeah, it was definitely a surreal experience.
Yeah, I bet, man. Yeah. Have you had the Music Man for a minute then? Or have you been using other amps?
I just got the Music Man for this tour, actually.
Okay.
I use a lot of like Fenders. I was using a Fender Champion for a long time.
Okay.
Just basically whatever's like the smallest combo to kind of get in the van.
Okay.
That's the one I'm going to use.
Yeah. And then this, I imagine, has a single 15 for a speaker. Okay. Well, man, let's hear some of this. I actually want to see, you know, but talk me through your pedal board, you know, and like show me the kind of key sounds that you're having to rock.
Absolutely. So we got a little bit of verb on it. Here's the Rat. Yeah, dude.
Oh man, that what you're doing with the Echo Dream reminds me a lot of John Dwyer from the OCs.
Yeah, definitely hitting the nail on the head. big influence for me, absolutely. Definitely Rob. I'm not even gonna be like coy about it. Like I definitely Rob this style on there. Who doesn't love one of those? Like,
yeah,
it's like a laser gun. You know what I mean? I think East Bay Ray used to do that a lot.
Dude,
too.
I was going to say, like a song like Falling Down reminds me of Dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
It's just super verb.
Yeah, verbed definitely. Out. Yeah, definitely. Drawing from him and B-52s a lot. Yeah,
that's rad.
Hey, I'm John.
Chris.
And I'm Barry.
And this is the Rig Rundown team, and we're sponsored by...
D'Addario.
Actually, I think it's pronounced... D'Addario.
It's D'Addario, but no matter how you say it, we know it stands for quality. Now, I noticed as you kind of went through the core sound there, that the example, you started with a guitar amp. Is that kind of how it works in the set, or both going, or are you ever running just guitar through the Music Man and no orange? Or is the signal always going?
It's going for most of it, yeah. That, like the intros, I think, is kind of where I don't have it on.
Give it a little bit more effect, because then when it comes in, it probably really hits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like is the and you know, and I'll be, the POG allows you to do polyphonic, so you can play chords and stuff like that. So that adds to the dynamic range of it. You know, if you're playing a single note versus a chord.
What do you like about having the RAT now versus the op amp that you were using? What are you digging about having that?
The RAT,
for your
it's
sound.
Small. Okay, so here's my thing with the op amp was I'm playing in these Chuck Taylors, and like they're long, so I would like bop the tone all the time. And I would like take the tone down, and I'd be like, why does it sound muddy? Like, what's going on? And I just rolled it down with my toe. So I like the RAT for that reason. This is the Lil RAT too.
Yeah.
Who could forget Dear RAT Boy?
I feel like you could put that in my back pocket.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the perks. I've ever got so many things on this pedal board. And it's just the cut. It's just the treble on it. And I crank the mids too. So you kind of get that Sabbath-y kind of warmness to it.
But,
Especially in the moments where I'm using the whammy. This guy. Yeah, so, you know, it gives it that, It's just more trebly, so it cuts through versus the bass and doesn't blend as much, you know.
How often are you changing what's going on with the Echo Dream? Because that, like, you know, just even the wave or the repeats are getting manipulated in a different way by some of those controls. Are you messing with it throughout a set, or is it kind of?
Yeah, definitely messing through it with it throughout the whole set. It's a lot of fun to mess with.
Yeah.
On the new record, we use the Echo Dream and the. The Echo Master, which is the vocal version, vocal pedal version of the pedal. It has a lot of like really fun like modulation to it. Let's turn up the fuzz here. Yeah, so we do a lot of, I don't really like to talk on stage. I think it's a waste of time.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know.
I want to hear another song.
Yeah, play the songs. So, you know, I'll just throw this on while I'm tuning and everyone can listen to, you know, dial up internet for a sec.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sick.
You've got mail. Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I lived through that period, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm using a lot of times, I'm just kind of using the slap on it just to reinforce some of the vibes. Yeah.
Man, and then how are you using the whammy? Because obviously there's a lot of parameters on that where you can go with it up and down and different things.
Totally.
How do you have it set up?
So I'm using it only on one setting on the just first octave up.
Okay.
And it's just for solo sections, essentially. just so now it adds its dynamic.
Are you working the treadle or the throw of the pedal, or is it kind of just down and then you go do your thing?
I'm like dancing on this thing.
Oh really? Can you show us?
Yeah, totally. So in our song Dock there, this is kind of what I'm doing.
Did you figure out kind of the alchemy of this whole setup and how you got the amps going and the ABY box on your own, or did you have like a older sage friend that was like, here's what you need to do?
Yeah, no, shout out again, Ash.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah.
Having a fucking great time.
Yeah, man. I mean, he was like, dude, what if you did that with the signal splitter? You could have two. And I was just, was the first one to be able to go and kind of put the pedals together and do it. And
And then, so the pog with the bass, you said that, is that tracking up or down?
It's going down. So okay. With the pog, I'm putting about 45% lower octave in there.
Okay.
And then I'm putting maybe like 15% of the dry in there. And the dry just helps make it less muddy and brings out some of the mids and the highs as well.
Right on. Now, what part of this rig or all of it was used to record the new record?
We used the Echo Dream.
Okay.
And we used the Whammy. And that's it.
Okay.
There's bass on the record.
Did you play that, I imagine?
Yeah, I did. I played a Dingwall.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Great, it really holds the tone, you know?
Yeah. Now, I see the loop station out here. How's that getting used?
The loop station is only for, like, intermissions.
Mm.
So, kind of break it up, because I love to do the dial-up internet thing.
Yeah.
But if you do it too much, it's like...
It loses
like,
it. All right.
Yeah. So we have a couple of, like, not-so-serious bits on there. In the past, we've done, like, the Wii Shop music.
Yeah.
It's like a nice, like, little non-sequitur in the middle. And then we walk off to Scatman.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask because it's one of my favorite riffs and it opens up the song is Ghost Girl.
Sure.
Can you show me that one?
Totally, yeah. Yeah, so you did the harmonics on that one.
Yeah. I do, before we get out of here, man, I really appreciate your time, and I do appreciate what you and Ed are bringing back to the music scene. Just, the punk rock DIY ethos that I grew up watching. I know that people got to check out music videos. I'm horrible with names. I'm the worst guy, so I don't know what song's attached to it, but one of them's like Beavis and Butthead themed. You got like Beavis and Butthead, I'm losing blank, but Fear and Loathing is like kind of different, like shout outs from the TV show that you guys did.
Yeah.
But like you're really leaning into the 90s thing, and it's like your music fits to how I first heard about music was a lot of times through skate tapes.
Oh,
skate,
hell yeah.
VHS tapes.
Same.
And there's a soundtrack to that stuff, and it's like, oh, that was a sick trick, but what's that song playing?
Absolutely.
And so it's cool to see you guys doing that and kind of reviving that lost love of mine from the 90s, man. So I'm curious, how did you get into that and kind of land in my timeline? Because we're not the same age.
Yeah. I grew up skateboarding too.
Okay.
I have a fucking piss drunks tattoo. I grew up on like Baker 2G, Baker 3.
Okay.
That was the first time I heard the Cramps. Oh, Flip, sorry. Girl, yeah, right. Like they just had such great soundtracks. First time Iggy Pop, Grey Matter, Velvet Underground, like Placebo, like the list just goes on. The music, so, and Zero videos. I could talk for days about this.
Yeah.
It definitely just went hand in hand, like the fashion and like, I think the motion, I think like, the skateboarding is so musical.
Yeah. Like
it has such a...
There's a flow to it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's about aesthetics and expressing yourself and all that stuff. So I think that's what made me... And then also Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Like, I'm not... You know,
dude.
I totally got into it because of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the Vandals. Like, come on.
Yeah, Vandals. Oh, Dead Kennedys, of course. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, that... You know, like, how many... Like, in immediately, you know what I mean? Like, 11 years old?
Yeah.
Like, game over, do you know what I mean?
I appreciate it. It's one of those, like, there's many... There's several things in our world that transcend language and all the things that separate us, but music and skateboarding, it's like, can bring people together in a way that you don't even need to speak the same language, but you can still appreciate what that person's doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's cool to see that, you know, cross the pond, skateboarding in yeah. 80s and 90s punk rock was a thing for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the other thing about that too is like, and it's a theme of the record is like we kind of did, you know, this whole thing about the 80s satanic panic, kind of like the heavy metal and the punk rock of the time. And, you know, and it ties into, you know, the socioeconomic state of the world then and Reaganism, Thatcherism, and kind of how we're leaning that way again. So it's like, I feel like that's why, you know, history is repeating itself.
Yeah.
And we're just here to kind of say, like, can you see what's going on? Do you know what I mean?
Well, James, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you guys got to get going and do sound check and actually do band stuff, but I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate the album, too.
Yeah, you do.
You guys stay safe and check out the new album.
That's what we do.